Good morning and welcome to 101.9, your favorite station, Chai FM. The time is now 9 and 10 minutes. It's the 22nd day of the month of August, and we here very quickly finishing this year. To finish the year, we've got every week a new comedian, and this week we've got a great guy. I've watched him last week on Thursday at Parker's Place, and he's really hilarious, amazing. He left his wife in the car because he wants to talk some bad things about her. Hopefully she doesn't, is she listening to the radio?
No, she's not listening, because I warned her. And I left her downstairs because I was worried about bringing her up to all these handsome guys. You've got all your chest off here.
Anti woman movement.
Yes.
We love girls though, eh? You know, we just hate women. We don't,
No. You see, you're gonna get me into trouble. I love women. I love girls. I love women. I love my wife the most. That's all I understand.
I'm telling you, when he said to us outside, it wasn't the same.
For the rest, they take the fifth.
Yes. I want to just introduce Mr. Nicholas Goliath. That's the one. Who do we have one more with us? We've got Liel Rimon. How are you doing, Liel?
Good morning.
Came all the way from Centon, from 96 Centon Drive.
That was a hard drive. But great weather, like I'm saying. A little bit, sick because of the change of the weather. It's getting so hot in the middle of August.
Yeah.
My body is not used to it. I'm just getting old, so one of the two.
I'm gonna be in UK in 2 weeks time. I think you better.
Yeah, you lost the summer. The summer was last Tuesday.
Yeah, summer was a weekend, two weekends ago. Yeah. And we've got with us as well, Peter Feldman. How are you doing, Peter? Are you doing fine?
Yeah. You can't hear me because...
No, it's all right, it's
today
all right.
Today is a special day. I've been married 43 years today.
43 years?
Oh, yeah. My God.
You know, the truck with the medals is coming around here to give Nicholas and you a medal.
They couldn't get through the gate, or the security wouldn't let them in.
I understand.
Yeah.
Here we go. Moshe, how many years you married? Not long, eh?
Also, a little bit long.
How long?
Anyway, next year I'm going to Hollywood. I'm taking my wife to Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
I'm married for 45 years. She's getting the Oscar.
Yeah, your wife actually needs... He can do a movie about you.
Actually, his wife must get the Oscar.
Yeah, it's going to be a horror movie.
You know. So anyway, we've got today a very, very nice show, guys. If you've got any questions, 0618910019. Yeah. 0618951019. That's our Telegram. SMS messages to 34519 will cost you $1.50. Karen, come, give us something. Am I right, Karen? C-A-R-R-Y-N. I'm terrible
That's
with
Karen.
Reading.
That's Karen. Karen.
It is yes, Karen. Yes. So isn't it K-E-R-E-N?
That's but another Karen.
Word. Everyone spells everything differently.
Isn't yeah, it? She's a millennial.
Yeah, some people spell my name with an I. Rui.
Roy. Roy. Yeah, if you Portuguese.
Then that's the color.
That's the color. Yes, am I right? Yes. Yeah, that's the color.
What color?
Red.
Roy, red.
No, but in Portuguese.
You write Roy. So anyway, we were talking about his favorite subject because he was talking about women and
my gags, my jokes.
Yes. We're about women.
Yes. Which one? Okay. Which is my about? Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, a comedian talks about himself. I mean, about your life experiences. I mean, but you can see the guy that actually lies. That says, a woman, and he's talking nice things about women. Then he's not married. Oh, he never really had the relations. Oh, he loves guys. I mean, I don't know. Somebody will say good things about women and he's married. Do you know anybody like this?
Who say good things about women
and are married.
I am that person. I love my wife. We've been together for 15 years.
Married
for 6 years. Because I had to make sure first.
You're still a baby, Nicholas. You know, you haven't been through the highs and lows yet. Have you in 15 years? I've always on the highs, Roy.
You know, my old man says, I've been married for... My old man was... In November, he's married for 60 years. Listen to him. 60 years.
That's
to the same woman. And my mother is horrible. I love my mother to bits. She's horrible. I mean,
horrible to him.
Horrible, horrible. So, the only one she likes is me. That's it. She doesn't like anybody
else.
And your brothers? Yeah, my brothers, yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, she likes that. But I'm telling you, my man, it's horrible. And this is poor man. So he said to him, Daddy, how are you? He says, no. I had 10 good years of marriage. That's good enough.
I'm
10 out of 50 out of the 60 is alright.
Does he not say, I'm suffering?
Yeah, I'm suffering, yeah.
But from what I've heard is that the first 25 years are the toughest.
Yeah.
And then you get used to it. That's just what I've... So Jason, that's something that Jason heard from somebody.
That's the same as jail. The first 25 years it's hard. And then you just cruise through it.
I
heard.
No, my grandfather used to say the first 60, 70 years of the human being is a little bit difficult. Afterwards, okay.
It's downhill is easier. It's
like we're living 300 years. Anyway, so what I'm trying to say is, it's amazing. You know, people walk on stage. You walk on stage and you make all those people laugh. Don't you have like fear, you know, stage fear or?
Every single time.
Really?
I've been doing comedy for 8 years now.
Yeah.
And people always see me backstage because all comedians do this thing. When we're backstage, just preparing to go on stage, you're walking up and down, you're pacing, you're stressing, you know, you're trying to get your material. Yeah. And people always say, you know, you've been doing this thing for so long, why do you still get nervous? And I always say the thing with comedy is that every audience is different. Every single time you get up on that stage, it's like your very first time.
But I tell you, Nicholas, what we see, not what you feel or do, what we see someone that woke up in the morning, drink his coffee, went up on stage and just talked to everybody very naturally and never thought about it a second before.
But you're actually training what goes inside it, What goes inside that brain of yours when you wake up in the morning and prepare all your material? Who writes it?
But Roy, I was going to say, if you're not nervous or you don't have that adrenaline push, I mean, every artist, whether you're a rock star or a comedian, you have that thing just before you go on stage. Yeah. It's like vamping yourself, like psyching yourself. And I've seen these guys backstage. I mean, I saw it with Queen. You know, Freddie Mercury psyching himself.
You know, he was working for Freddie Mercury.
Really?
Yeah, I toured with Queen for 2 weeks in...
You were walking up and down. Freddie Mercury did the same.
No, I was still swimming when he was.
No, to prepare yourself to the show. But how is it really? Because like I said, they took it to a different direction.
Yeah.
When we see the comedians, and especially comedians that did more than one show, that got to the second
experienced,
show.
Experienced,
when you go on the stage and you told me you're stressing it, it doesn't show. It looks so natural. When I see a stand-up comedy, it doesn't look like the guy spent hours writing jokes. It looks like everything is from his mind. Like I will speak to my friends and everything will jump out and everything. And that's what it looks and it's perfect. And how you get to do that?
I appreciate that. So firstly, the thing is we stress backstage because that's your place to be uncomfortable and to stress and panic. But when you're on stage, the audience has paid to see you. You've got to give them value. So that's what we're waiting for. We just want to get that first laugh. Once that first laugh gets there, it sort of settles you in. It's same like with DJs. When you see the crowd is going mad, it's the same thing. You know, you just feed off that adrenaline and you keep going. And as far as the material's concerned, like you find people that will follow comedians. So they'll go to all the gigs all over the place and follow comedians.
I'm one of those idiots,
And then what happens is you end up saying to guys, why do you keep doing the same material? Because you've seen them at Parker's, you've seen them at the Goliath Comedy Club, you've seen them. But what audiences don't understand is that most times 95% of the audience have not seen us perform. They haven't seen us do that material. And for us, it's a process of we're polishing that material. So like I've got my first one-man show coming up and I'm in the process, that's on the 5th to the 8th of September.
And that's going to be where?
That's at the Melville Comedy Club.
So guys, first of all, it's like this.
Yeah.
You launched a new comedy club and we spoke to Dalen. That was, when was it?
Dalen, about two weeks ago.
Dalen,
Oliver.
Wonderful guy. Yeah. What a nice guy. What a funny guy. Man. And amazing, really amazing. And he said that you guys are opening the new place in Melville.
Yes.
So please tell our audience, we're in Melville. So
it's on 7th Street. Street in Melville. It's on the corner of 7th and 1st. And it's called the Melville Comedy Club. So if you check on Goliath and Goliath, if you check our website, goliathandgoliath.com, or you can search Melville Comedy Club on any social media networks.
So is that like the same setup more or less like you used to have in Melrose?
No, so completely different to Melrose. Melrose, as beautiful and amazing as it was, wonderful date night venue, wonderful party venue, it wasn't very comedy focused. And all we want is to have a comedy focused room. So that's what Melville is now. It's a 65 seater box that has a stage, theater style seats, a mic and a spotlight so that there's nothing to distract
you. So it's just theater. There's no food. There's no food.
Well, you could welcome to come with your food. Good luck sitting in the audience and eating your burger while there's a comedian on stage. You're welcome to bring a drink because we don't have a bar. And it's just a place for you to come and sit and watch comedy. That's it.
Do you think that's going to be like, did you start it already there?
Yes, we started. So we opened Melville at the end of January. And it's been slowly growing and developing. It was slow in the beginning, but now we're getting to a point where weekends are generally sold out, Wednesdays and Thursdays, because we run Wednesday to Sunday. Where you'll have a lineup from Wednesday to Saturday, and Sunday we do the open mic, which Moses is coming to on Sunday. So if you're out there and you think you are funny, if you make your friends or your family laugh,
my wife thinks I'm funny.
That's the best.
No. Like she laughs at me, not with me, at me.
You know, I don't know whether. Anyway.
Nicholas, have you always been at school? Were you funny? Did people in your class laugh at you? Did you make jokes with the teacher? How did it all come together? I mean, where do you see yourself?
You have to
when you were young.
Must come from inside.
You know, so I never saw myself as a comedian when I was a kid. I was always the kid doing anything to make people laugh. I remember stupid things. I remember jumping out of a tree and hurting myself because I wanted to make a group of girls laugh. It worked. But then they friend zoned me immediately. So that didn't work out according to plan. Also I come from a very comical family. So my dad has 5 brothers. And we generally are boys. Who came as the next generation. And, you know, family functions, even my mother's side of the family as well. She's only got 2 brothers. But also, my generation, my cousins, we were boys mostly. And the thing with boys is we teased each other every day. I got teased at school. I always had bad skin. I suffered with acne. I had terrible acne. So I used to get teased.
But you're very pretty now.
I appreciate that. But I still have the acne. I'm like, guys, when is this thing going to stop?
Doesn't. I'm 60 almost and I still got it.
Nicholas, there must be a movie there somewhere about your family, your friends. I mean, have you thought about making a movie about
I'm sure they did.
I haven't actually. To be honest, I've thought about a documentary series just based on our business, the Goliath and Goliath, because I feel like it's an unbelievable story. 2 cousins, a random Goliath who's not related.
And talking about Goliath and Goliath, where do we get merch?
Merch? Merch is one of those things.
Come on, spill the beans.
We want to do merch, but
it's so easy. Look at this.
You see this hoodie I'm wearing.
Yeah. That's
awesome. If Kate knew that I was out in public in this hoodie,
why?
Because we only ever made 1 set of hoodies. This hoodie is not gray. It's actually black. And when I had it, it was dark black. Now it looks gray.
I also have work shirts that we did 20 years ago. Yeah. I'm still sleeping with them in the winter. They're amazing.
Yeah.
But I'm not allowed to go out of the house with you.
No. Now, Kate, that's what I'm saying. Kate would be so angry if she saw me now.
But it's awesome.
But, I wear this for me. It's a personal thing just to show that our business has come this far.
But you know that your brand
never
is.
Expected.
Your brand is working. People know about Goliath and Goliath. People know about the connection to comedy and it's getting to be bigger and bigger. Mesh is a great idea, I think.
It is a great idea. That was part of the, I think what launched us was that we were the first brand to do merch. So our first t-shirts were the black t-shirts with the yellow Goliath and Goliath. And I'll never forget the first time we wore the t-shirts, people laughed at us. Guys, people laughed. They were like, what are you doing? You have no idea. Because at that time, we hadn't even been doing comedy for a year. And people were just like, why would you put your name on your t-shirt? Are you stupid? What are you doing? This is so stupid.
That's the only way, right?
Yeah. And now those same people have the t-shirt.
I want to ask you something. Do you find it special that a lot, I mean, comedy in South Africa, if it's not Barry Hilton, it's colored.
No.
No.
And that's the amazing thing. There's such a massive vernac comedy scene.
Well, maybe I only can go to you guys because scene. I really like you guys.
No. Because we speak English. The vernac comedy scene, I don't even understand the levels of vernac. Like there's Zulu, there's Sutu, there's Tswana, there's Tosa.
Okay. So the English comedy is...
In English comedy, I wouldn't say
predominantly
it's colored.
I think so.
No, not even. I'd say there's a good split.
Good mix. I'd say it's Nick Rabinovitz, it's Chris Forrest. I can give you a whole list. White comedians, Roy.
I don't know why, but I'm telling you that lately I've seen more and
but
more.
You've seen it,
And I promise you, the upcoming stars, the guys are amazing. They do wonderful material. They interact with the crowd, with the audience, which is amazing. I know a lot of comedians. They come on stage, they do their piece. Great is it's going to be, but they never interact a little bit even with the crowd.
You know, right.
And it makes it dry. And you guys come in.
Exactly.
Please say something about the drunk lady. You have to.
No, but that's exactly what you said.
Don't curse.
Yeah.
We got in Israel the Yemenites.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Yemenites are also, they're coming from Yemen.
Yeah.
The Yemenites. And first of all, they are very, they can sing.
Yes.
They can, entertain. They are, I don't know. It's something special about it. Maybe it's the same with colored
Maybe
people. They're just,
you know,
a
the way
good
you grew
showman.
Up, the way you've been raised.
Yeah.
You know,
to give you an example. So our first show that we started, Jason and I had been doing comedy for about 3 months. And we realized that was in 2011 and we realized that there were not a lot of colored people at comedy shows that we were going to. Like there'd be one or two in the audience spotted around. And we realized that it's not a case that colored people don't like to laugh. It's just that it wasn't advertised. There was no accessibility. And that's why our first show that we did, we called it Our Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Because it's away. And then we ran it on a Wednesday night so that we could appeal to colored people. Because that's our life. That's what we do.
100%.
In colored areas. 100%. I can guarantee you, as we speak now, colored people are being teased in El Dorado Park, in Ennerdale, in Easteris.
Where you come originally from?
I'm originally from El Dorado Park, extension 9. Yeah.
El Dorado.
You're not from the Cape?
No. I get that question so often. But, no, I'm from El Dorado Park. The front teeth are my own.
Here you go, and the hubcaps on your car.
Oh no, I've got 18-inch wheels under my car.
You had a very famous personality from Eldo, Miss South Africa, some years ago.
Yes, Liesel Lorry.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes,
Liesel. Yeah.
And she was very proud of Eldos, and I learned about it because I did the PR for Miss South Africa for many years, and I remember chatting to her and asking her about her background. And she was amazing. So the people from Eldos, I mean, they're like
amazing,
a community.
Amazing,
they support
amazing.
Each other.
It's such a beautiful thing. It's that proper, it takes a community to raise a child type of family.
Really?
Type of vibe. Like, I remember, one thing I miss about Eldos is that growing up, I could play in the streets and, you know, all the kids from the street would be able to play.
Yeah.
And you knew that you couldn't go and do anything wrong up the road
because the neighbor,
not only are they going to beat you, they're going to phone your mother. And then when your mother finds out that the neighbor beat you, they're going to find out why they beat you. Then you get beat by your mother as well. You know, so now, like my kids, unfortunately, they don't get to play in the streets. The area I stay in now, I live in Florida at the moment. And it's just, there's a park directly across the road from my house. I can't let my kids go and play in the street.
Now today, I mean, we're living in an environment which
very
is
different.
Crazy.
It's insane, man.
It's crazy, idiotic. I don't think it's, we're going to cut for a few minutes and then we're going to come back to you guys. I know you've got a lot to say and, thank you for being with us. I'm going to play something very special. Let it be. This is something we haven't played for quite a while.
Do you remember yesterday I told you about the 70s chart?
No.
I told you yesterday that in Israel they're doing a chart for the 70s, for the 70s. That's number one.
Oh, is it?
For sure, it's mine too.
So there's this guy in the bar sitting crying. Says the barman says to him, why are you crying? He says,
about 4 months ago my dad died. And so he says, I'm so sorry. He says, and 3 months ago, my mom died and left me $10,000. So, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But a month ago, my uncle died. Oh, what's wrong? Everybody dies. And left me $2,000. So why are you still crying? He says, this month, nothing.
This is The Hustle with Roy Peretz.
And we're back. Thank you for staying with us. It's 9:35 right now, 25 minutes before 10, and we've got the advertiser.
Yeah, we've got some food. Everybody loves food. Pick and Pay Norwood Hyper. Have these pocket-saving sweet deals just for you. Pick and Pay Kosher Fresh Chicken is delicious at $69.99 per kilo. Pick and Pay Fresh Hake, headed and gutted, is just $79.99 per kilo. Pick and Pay kosher ginger cakes are a very low $18.99 each. Kavod Zad Yaev Ne, cracked olives or pickled cucumbers in brine, and just R19.99 per tin. Catch these and many more specials in store. These specials are exclusive to Pick and Pay Norwood Hyper and only while stocks last. Pick and Pay Hyper Norwood, the best place to shop when you want to buy a lot. Then a second one, Roy, is we are known as the people of the book. We are literary connoisseurs.
Can barely read, but all right. Yeah,
consumers of words and prose, sharers of ideas. In short, we are readers. Chai FM is starting a book club. Would you like to be one of the Chai FM book club readers? You'll receive a book every month to review on the radio for our listening community. It's social, it's fun, it's mentally enlightening. We are looking for people with a wide range of reading topics and genres. Get in touch. Email books at chaifm.com.
Thank you. Thank you, Peter. So one of them says, my boss told me to have a good day, so I left home. Not bad, Karen.
I like
not bad.
That.
A good one.
She's so, always silly.
Yeah, she's
stuff
always. Yeah, she's a great. Leanne is saying marriage, marriage. We're talking about marriage. Marriage, spending the rest of your life with someone who you want to kill, but you don't kill because you're scared you're going to miss them.
Roy, they did a survey, Roy, yeah. And they found that 22% of women in America yeah. were sorry that they married their partner. If they had another chance, they'd marry someone else.
Is it?
It came out this morning in a report.
But they still would marry.
They would marry, but they were sorry they married the person they married.
I would be just
but
sorry
still
I'm more
with that person then.
They were still with that person and regretting every day.
Let me tell you, woman, tell me if it's true. I mean, you make comedy on this stuff.
Yeah.
Tell me if it's true. Women always think like you, she got you like on a
rebound.
Nah, that, okay. I mean, you were there. She yeah. could have made, she, a woman always thinks she could have done better. Don't you,
you
think?
You know, I sometimes.
Your
but
wife's
I
not
also,
listening in the car.
No, my wife, she's in the car though, but
she's not listening.
If I'm honest, my wife is a lot hotter.
Here
than
you
I
go.
Expected.
Here
like she, yeah. she's out of my league.
Teeth.
No, like, honestly, every time I look at her, I'm like, yo, you still here, you still haven't realized that I'm not hot enough for you. It's crazy.
Yeah, but I promise you, women always say, you know what, yeah, I took him there. You know, I took him. He was there, there was there. Ah, you know what? I settled for him.
Yeah. She I always, feel like guys always, do that yeah. more, to be
do
honest.
They?
I feel like
really?
Guys are,
I think that women do it to keep you on your toes. Listen, you need to step up all the time. You can't just.
Yeah, you can't yeah. relax so, and be comfortable.
No, exactly.
Come, yeah. tell us something. How do you guys feel? You walk on stage. Did you ever walk on stage of people who was like half deaf so, and look at you like you fell from the moon and no laughs?
Oh, yes.
I mean, I've seen you. You're it's funny. And listen, Jason and yourself, you're funny. You guys are funny.
You guys are talking on what happened in the show last week. You have to tell us on air.
What happened? What really happened? I was sitting not next to this lady, but
yes.
she was completely drunk.
So what happened is that there was a lady in the audience who had too much to drink yeah. before the show started. And when the host, who was Kiribone Molaotsi, while
nice.
He was on, he's so amazing, yeah, man. Yeah. Also one of the guys that started, that helped me through the industry. But he was hosting and I'm standing backstage. I heard him interact with the lady and say, you know, ma'am, please just keep it down. Everyone's trying to enjoy the show. Can you
yeah.
please just try and I heard him try and calm her down. And as a comedian, when you hear that backstage, you realize, okay, there's a problem in the audience. So when I came out, I already knew that something's happening. Now it's just a matter of waiting till it happens so I can see where it is and who it is. When I saw it's this lady, My problem with that is I don't mind people going out and getting drunk and having fun or doing whatever you want to do. I'm not your mother. I'm not going to tell you what to do. Go and have fun. But my problem with her is she spoke throughout my set, throughout the...
Couldn't listen to yourself.
Exactly. So what happens is the people that are sitting around you as the cause of the problem, they can't hear what's happening on stage. They've paid money to come and watch a show, but all they get to hear is you and your drunken friends having conversation. So for me, I don't mind because it gives me an opportunity to interact, and shut it down, which is what I had
to do. You've done.
Yes, I did do it. I did.
And she did shut up after that, eh?
No, they removed her from the venue after that.
It was quiet.
Yes. They asked her to politely leave. Because it happened a couple of times. And you know, once or twice, it's okay. If you're going to do, especially hecklers, people that want to shout out things at the comedian.
That's okay.
It's not okay.
It's not.
It's okay if you're going to add something. If you're making it funnier in the room, it's okay. We'll take it. But we still have to show that we are in control. Because if we allow it to happen, now everybody thinks they can do it. Then the show turns into chaos.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Because I always bring my bald friend with me. And we sit in the front row.
Yeah.
And every comedian picks on him. On Avi. Every comedian picks on him. Because he says, I know. I'm sitting in the front row. Because you got to pick on me. Especially with Mel Miller. He makes the societies out of him. So, yeah. Is that what you do?
No, you pick up the first row
is always like the guys with the biggest cojones.
You know, it's the strangest thing. Yeah. For me, I pick the guy that's not laughing. Like you can be in a room of 2,000 people and there's one person not laughing. That is the person you focus on.
Because
you are like, why are you not, these other 1,999 people are laughing, why are you not laughing?
My wife doesn't allow me.
Is your wife listening to the show?
My wife is now teaching, but yeah, normally she goes to the podcast and says, why did you say that? No, she doesn't. She actually doesn't now. She doesn't give a crap about what I say. She doesn't. Yeah.
That's what you think.
Yeah, no, she doesn't. No, she doesn't. Okay. I promise you. She doesn't care. She says, you know what? You stuffed. You married me. 34 years.
I think she cared, like we said. She cared for the first 25 years now.
Now she's used to it.
You think so, guys?
Yes. Eh?
So backstage, like, do you prepare your own material?
I do, yes.
Everything?
Everything is my own. Everything. I don't have any.
You write your own material?
Most comedians in South Africa, I'd say 95-98%.
So they don't have like a crew that writes for them?
No,
like,
there's...
Like Jerry Seinfeld?
No. We're not that famous and we don't have that much money because you've got to pay these guys, man.
You have to.
And I also just, like for me personally, I just find it easier to write my own stories. I know what I find funny. It's very difficult, I find, for people to write in your voice.
Did you ever did someone else's jokes? Is it easy to do someone else's jokes?
It is easy. I've never done it myself. But I have found moments, especially where you're in a place, a corporate space, maybe you're doing corporate comedy for somebody's year in function, and something's not working, but you see something that would be perfect for somebody else's gag, for another comedian's material. And it would be so easy in that moment to just go in and do it. But there's also a thing about pride, man. Like, I
you don't want to copy jokes.
Yeah. I don't want people laughing at someone else's joke. I want them laughing at my jokes. That's the whole reason
We're not talking about copies. They don't really tell jokes.
Yeah. You're more storyteller than a joke. You tell something.
Yeah, it's I do have jokes. Like I do the dad jokes. Did I do the dad jokes on
I don't
Thursday?
Remember. Yeah, I think oh, so.
I like this.
Yeah, so I
give
do
us
a
an
thing.
Example of a dad joke.
So a dad joke, I did this for my 10-year-old, okay? What do frogs use to keep their houses together?
What do they use?
Rivets.
Rivets.
Because they're frogs. And frogs go rivet, but then they're frogs. And then, so I told that joke to my 10-year-old and he was like, yo, dad, what's rivets? Yeah, so Mr. So like that's a joke. But then I do a lot of stories and I talk about my wife, I talk about my kids, and yeah, I just find the humor in everything, man.
No, you have to, you have to. You know Charlie Chaplin said, a day without laugh is a day not worth living.
No, but that's what you said. Colored, black, white, Indian, it doesn't matter. We all human, we all have the same things that we're going through. So it's very easy to find the common place. I think we talked about it before, that if you will come to a Jewish event and you'll talk about general stuff, you will make everybody laugh because you're funny. What can you do?
Yeah.
No, because there's also certain things that everybody can relate to. We're all married. Doesn't matter what race we are. We all have, you know, that family member that causes problems in the family. We all have that friend that goes overboard and drinks too much and is just, you know, we all, there's a link somewhere between everyone.
Everyone.
And, you know, and it's just about finding that.
I remember this joke. I have to tell you, please tell it, because there was two guys busy fishing and they were, you know, trout fishing. I don't know. They were sitting in the middle of a river and there was a funeral going just on a road. Just, I'm sure you know the joke.
just a
funeral was going just up the road there. So the guy was left his fishing rod and stood up nicely. And the guy said, "Oh, that's nice. You're giving respect to the funeral." He says, "Well, I was married to the woman for 40 years."
No, Roy, I thought you were telling this story where the guy was going in circles. And the other guy said, "What's going on?" He says, "I don't know. I lost the plot."
That's about what I think about women getting married. So, yeah, so, Nicholas.
Yes, sir.
Come, give us a 5-minute speech of, or a short.
5-minute speech.
Okay. Or a short, a short
story.
What you do on your show, you know, so people, I want to have people that listen to my show coming to the show. Yeah, exactly.
I say come to the show because my thing is, like I was saying, you know, the references, you've got to find something that relates to everybody. And I was actually speaking to a comedian in Durban yesterday who was saying that it's so crazy that we've found this way of hitting every part of the audience. You know, because certain comedians you'll find a particular type of audience member laughing. Yet with us, or with me, I enjoy that I can make anyone from the CEO to the tea lady to the lawyer to the doctor. I find a way to make everyone laugh. Like I talk about things, everyday life things. So I'm married to a Muslim woman, firstly. My name is Nicholas Goliath. Like my surname is in the Bible. My name is possibly there, but I haven't finished the book. I talk about the birth of my kids or the non-birth of my kids. I've got a very interesting story about birth and, or Caesar's C-section. Like that's my, one of my favorites. And also just, we all need to laugh.
The C-section one was very nice, I must say.
Oh, yes.
It was very nice.
You heard it. Yes. So, I love that one. I love that. My wife hates it, but it's okay. Linda says,
make love, not war, or if you want both, get married.
Yes, that's exactly it. That's you see, so, you're living with the enemy.
You're living with... You can say that again, I'm telling you guys. And when the kids come, oy, 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 you become the number 16 in the house. After the dog and the maid and Yeah, we used to be lovers, you know, we used to be together, we used to go out, to be all great. Then the kid comes.
Roy, would you do a one-night stand? Would you go on one of the shows and your humor, your Israeli perspective?
I thought you were talking about the woman now. No,
I'm talking about you.
One-night stand for me is a woman. I would love that. My wife wouldn't, but I would like that.
But who's the boss?
She's the boss, I mean.
Yeah, we all know.
I mean, Nicholas, would you invite Roy onto one of your shows and he can talk?
I'd invite all of you actually to come into an open mic one night and then we can see. Cause this is easy to talk here.
This is easy to talk, there's no
reply. Yeah. Once you see a thousand faces looking back at you with no interest. Oof.
When I see these comedians, I really laugh. I make a lot of notes, but I'm a serious guy. So I'm the guy you got to work with.
That's the face we focus on. We're like, what is wrong in your life that's not making you laugh?
He's married for 40, he just told you he's married for 45 years. After 43.
43, 45.
I rounded up for you because, you know, you lose your sense of everything, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I don't know.
Something to think about.
Yeah. But don't you create a new thing? You take the, isn't that the whole, do you take your sense of who you are and her sense, and then you join, and then you make a whole new, that's the whole.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And,
am I just too caught up in romance?
Yeah, you know this one with the horn, what you call
the unicorn.
Horse, the unicorn. Yeah, yeah. The flying unicorn. Yeah. Exactly in the same place.
René says there's a lot to say about marriage, but we try not to say it in front of the children.
Yeah. Not to say it in front of your wife. Forget the children.
Guys, I thank you so much for listening to us. The time is now 12 minutes to 10 o'clock. We're just not going to have to give the, we have to give back our microphones and everything. What's happening to the next show? So, you still have the Yiddish show running?
No.
So what show do we have after that one? You know,
I'll check it. Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing is not good.
Maybe so they'll reinstate.
I mean, I've got no
maybe
plans.
Maybe they'll reinstate. Hopefully, it will be reinstated.
Is it?
Yeah.
So what do we have? First of all, I want you guys to really, I want to see all of you as many as possible, from Wednesday till Saturday. We've got Nicholas, Goliath at Goliath and Goliath in Melville. And you can check it on www.
GoliathandGoliath.com, or you can check out
Goliath and Goliath, A-N-D, Goliath.
Goliath, A-N-D, Goliath.com.
And you can book your tickets there.
You can book your tickets there. 100 Rand pre-sold, 120 Rand at the door. You can follow me. It's Nicholas Goliath on all social media. And then just come and watch some comedy, man. I'm going to have different opening acts each night as well.
How many comedians are on your show normally?
No, so it will normally, on a normal lineup show, it would be anything from 3 to 6, depending on how long the show is, how it's running. But for my show, I'm going to have one opening act and then myself doing 60 minutes comedy.
That's wonderful.
And I'm recording.
We saw a guy by the name of Lindy. Do you know Lindy?
Lindy.
Yeah.
Yes.
He talked for 2 hours.
Yes.
No, Ndumiso has an amazing ability to not stop speaking.
I know a lot of women like this.
Yeah. 2 hours of comedy it's a different thing.
I have to ask you one last question because we are running out of time. You have to give us the Jewish connection here. Where does the name Goliath come from?
From the Bible.
Yeah, I know, but how he got to you?
To me?
To your family. To
you. Oh, no. For me, it just came from my father. Okay. And then from him, it came from his father.
Is it?
And at some point, someone's father was hit in the head with a stone.
With a stone.
And he's still looking
for David.
Luckily, he had kids already.
And luckily, no one named you Samson.
Yeah, no, cause as you can see, I'd be the weakest guy in the room here.
So great.
Bald, no worries. But at least I'd be between a woman's thighs. She's very excited. And Donovan, his name is Donovan David Goliath.
Ooh, Donovan.
Believe
David
it or not.
Goliath.
Yeah. It's on his ID, Donovan David Goliath. We always tease him and say you must have a lot of internal battles going on. Fighting himself.
David. So Seth and Jason, you cousins?
Yes.
And Donovan's got nothing to do
no
with
no relation those. Whatsoever. We've tried to track and backtrack and find. And there's the only connection we could find is like we've got an aunt whose second cousin is related to Donovan's, like, distant aunt. Like,
he's the pretty one.
Yeah, but he's the pretty one, yeah.
Okay.
I normally say the fat one, the white one, and the handsome one. But I mean,
the good, the bad, and the ugly, yeah.
Let me tell you, I've watched Jason many times. He's amazing. He's really, really
so
good.
Great,
he's so great.
He's so great.
Yeah, I watched twice.
Yeah.
Only twice. Once in, Parker's, which was really, really good. And it was a difficult crowd because the guys at the back, you can't really hear. I was sitting in the back. It's difficult to hear. But if you sit close to
the center,
it must be good. Yeah.
No,
must
it
be
is.
Good.
The acoustic is very important.
Yes. And over and above that, people eat.
Yes.
And they talk between themselves. So you're not really connected so much. So
and that's
for
why
you to put them all together, you must have a big ability.
Yeah.
And, amazing. I'm going to try to say goodbye. Yes. I'm going to try to say goodbye to all of you. I thank you so much for Nicholas for
guys,
coming
thank
here.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, man,
so much fun, man.
I want you to think about the way that when you guys coming maybe once on Wednesday, once on a Thursday, and we can maybe make some sort of fun, you know, enjoying ourselves.
Have some
you know?
Fun.
What do you think?
I always want to have fun. Always. And I'm just like, I never expected this to be my life, my job. So every day I'm excited.
You know, some people have said Roy's show is a joke.
Yeah.
So that's why we're going to make the most of it.
And like he said, his wife called him a joke. Nah. So,
yeah, but that's in the bedroom. You mustn't say that to other people. Oh, yeah. Guys, thank you so much for being here. I want you to have a great weekend and great weather. And I'm not going to see you for a long time now. Ooh. I'm flying on Saturday and on Wednesday, and I'm going to be back on the 17th.
Okay.
You're just doing holiday vibes or...
No, yeah. I'm actually going on all day. I'm going to Alaska.
To Alaska?
And the UK, yeah.
The things you do to escape your wife. Right?
With my wife. On the same
cabin. Are you going to leave her there?
That's why he's going to Alaska.
My friend, don't say anything.
It's like dark and cold place.
Yeah. So it can remind him of home.
Exactly. Remind her of where she came from.
Guys, thank you so much. And just to leave you with a nice song, White Shade of Pale.